Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN and the Listen tab on the ESPN app.
Talk to him every week during the season.
I know. Where are the cookies? Who brought the cookies?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you that. As he sits down, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on. Because I saw some pictures of him the other day, and he is really slimmed down.
He's looking good.
He looks great. And I think, I haven't spoken until this moment, I'm kind of thinking that Chips Ahoy, they are off the menu.
Oh, maybe it's like a special occasion.
No. You don't slim down like this and eat Chips Ahoy. Am I right, Coach?
You are correct.
Well, now, what made you do this? You look great.
No, I just got tired of not being in shape.
Yeah.
You know, I carried my 7-year-old up the stairs one day, and I was tired. And I was really tired. And I said, God, I said, you know what? And now I had enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And I stopped eating my Chips Ahoy's, and I stopped a lot of bread, and I started eating more vegetables and drinking a lot of water. And
That'll do it.
Walking out, walking 6-7 miles every other day, circuit lifting in between.
And how much you down?
About 50 or 60.
Really?
No.
God bless you.
Did carry it well, though. Seriously.
Yeah, you didn't look fat.
You had 50 pounds?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I'm trying to transition into that now. I mean, getting rid of, like, stuff you really like, and I love bread and stuff like that and pizza. Has it been tough to give that up? Because
no.
You used to talk about Chips Ahoy. You love them.
You don't have to cut it out. It's just portion control.
Okay.
I don't have to eat the whole box of Chip Ahoy's now. You know, you can have 5 or 6.
Right.
Kind of. And it took a while, but when you have enough, you have enough. And only you know that. No matter how many people try to help you, when you have enough and you're serious about it, it happens.
But you have not given up Gladys Knight and the Pips?
Ever.
Okay, good. That's positive.
That's now, going nowhere.
That's tell me about your team. What's your feeling about this team?
Chemistry is good. I think we're in great shape. Obviously, we're young. We added quite a few pieces, obviously. The gel has to be there, and we got to get that together. But I'm excited about them because they're hungry, and they work hard, and they're very positive and understanding what they have to do and making sure it's all about us and not the opponent until we get to them on Sunday. And that's big because normally you look ahead to people you play, and you try to see weaknesses here and there, and you look back on games that you've lost and you figure out it's us all along. It's not anybody else. So we're going to focus on us. And that's why we have the It's All About Us t-shirts, and we're going to take care of ourselves, and we're going to have a killer instinct in the fourth quarter. But obviously the beginning of the training camp, that doesn't happen overnight. It'll happen hopefully throughout the course of training camp. And that's what we're working towards.
Were you guys close at all to being concerned about Sam not being here?
No, I mean, it's part of the business.
Right.
You can only coach the guys that are out here. As coaches and players, we can like coach and play. You see what's going on. You understand what's going on inside the building, and you let that work itself out. And obviously the repercussions are he has a lot of catching up to do. It's about 3 days worth, and you can learn the offensive stuff. That's not as big of a deal, but at the same time, the defense is installing things that you don't see in the spring, and you don't get the basic blitzes. You starting to get a bunch of packages in, so your first day is going to be their fourth or fifth day, and that's going to take a little bit of an adjustment. But he's a hard worker and he's a hard study guy, so he'll get his reps and he'll make his mistakes and learn from them. And hopefully in the next week or two, probably 2 weeks, he'll get caught up a little bit.
He's important to what you guys are doing here. I mean, he's the third pick in the draft, and I know you say it's in that building and you have to coach what you have. But honestly, did you pick up the phone and say, Mike, let's get this guy in. I can't have him miss this many days.
Everybody's chomping at the bit to get it done. And, you know, business gets done when it gets done. And he is an important part to us. But at the same time, if one of our important guys go down, we still have to show up on Sunday and play. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. So we have to get all the other guys ready to play as well. So when he joins us, it's great. It makes us one more having everybody in, but at the same time, we can't rely on one guy. We got to win as a team.
Well, speaking of which, let's keep in the quarterback's room for a minute. I'm really fascinated by the Teddy Bridgewater story, what he's come from and what it probably means for him to perform well this season. What have you seen from Teddy so far? How does he look physically?
Teddy's been great. Teddy hasn't shown any downside whatsoever from the injury. He's done everything in the spring. He ran all the run tests. He does everything right now. He's been outstanding. Mentally, he's outstanding. He's a great guy. He's a great leader, and he understands the game, and he just has a chance to play, and he loves life, and, you know, I'm very impressed by Teddy right now.
So what are the things he's going to have to make up? He hasn't played football in 2 years, so where does that put him?
Obviously, the reads he's going to have to get used to again because he hadn't played in 2 years. It's just a matter of doing the everyday mechanics and getting your body shaped that way, and he's doing a great job that way. But the reads here and there and the timing of his throws over a course of time, the more he plays, the more it comes back to you. But those are things you're going to have to work on if you haven't played in 2 years.
We are talking with Todd Bowles, the head coach of the New York Jets, here on the Michael Kay Show now because we have a relationship, and you know, you're on with us every week. Just tell us who's starting a quarterback in opening day.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, let's just tell us.
Let's get a headline.
Yeah, let's get a headline out of this interview.
I'm still a Joe Namath guy.
All right, all kidding aside, in your head, do you know who's going to start?
I do not.
So it is completely open. Any of the three guys
Josh
can start.
Josh is the front runner. They have to take it from him.
Okay. Okay.
And that's what's interesting in evaluating you. We were just doing it at the beginning of the show, right? You're entering your fourth year as head coach of the Jets. So you build towards something, but you'd even have to admit that each year has been just so unique, right? So is this really year four of a build when you're going on how many different quarterbacks and all the changes that have gone on? So how do we judge you based on going into your fourth year when there's been so many different changes? This is a completely different team than what you had in 2015.
Well, I don't look at it as a rebuild. You know, you're going to have a good 15 new guys on your team every year with the draft, free agency, injuries, people retiring. People, you're going to have a lot of different
people. But hopefully not quarterbacks, though.
Hopefully not quarterback. You want that spot to be etched in stone, obviously. But I don't look at it as a rebuild. I look at it as we're retooling and we got new guys and the chemistry gels together quickly. Then you play ball games from that. We as coaches get judged on wins and losses. So right now, I'm on the minus side of that, and I got to do something about that. And we got to do it as a team. It's not about me. It's about our guys and trying to get to our ultimate goal. I don't really care how I'm viewed. As long as those guys are playing hard and those guys are winning ball games, that's my ultimate job.
Do you judge a pick like Darnold? You know, McCagden made trades to get up to the third spot, and that's a high-level, high-intensity guy to pick and important for the future of the franchise. And just in baseball, I know guys that are drafted first get moved up in the system quicker than guys that were drafted 20th. Do you judge him on a curve because it has to work for the Jets with this guy?
No, we gave up two picks for him, but anytime you're picking in the top five, you better pick a pretty good ball player that's going to help your football team. And obviously, we thought a lot of Sam to pick him there. And at some point in time, we don't know how early or late that's going to be, he's going to help us and get a chance to show why we picked him.
I heard Eli Manning being interviewed today on the station, and he said, I think it's important for a quarterback of the future to play in the first year, even if it's not every single game, because then when you want him to play every day in the second year, it's not going to be all new to him. Are you intent on getting Sam Darnold starts this year?
It's too early for that right now. He's got to learn, and he's got two guys he's got to battle with right now. But we'll see how the training camp goes throughout the course of that, and then we'll judge it from there.
It's interesting, though. I wonder, you know, are you at cross purposes? You have to win games, you said.
No doubt about it.
So, and you also have to develop a young quarterback.
Correct.
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, do you have to win games?
That question has never been answered. We got to win games with whoever's that quarterback, whether it's Sam, whether it's Josh, or whether it's Teddy. So we have to win games. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is as long as we win. But Sam is somebody we value very highly, but he has some work to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll monitor that, and we'll get him his reps, and we'll move forward from there, whether he's ready early, middle, late, or we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Now, a tough question. I don't know if you can answer it, but we always compare, because he mentioned Eli. In 2004, Eli Manning was behind Kurt Warner. At 5-4, the Giants decided to give the reins to Eli. Are you prepared to make a decision like that where, hey, it's time for the kid to play? Or is it just based on, hey, we're 5-4, we got a chance to win, but he's ready to play. So what comes first, the season or the career?
As a coach, you got to be in a situation. I don't go off of hypotheticals of what happened with the Giants, with Eli being 5-4. We're a different team. We have different guys.
Sure.
And you have a feel for the pulse of your team, and you have a feel for a pulse of where you think your quarterbacks are, and I think you make the decision based on that.
So your pulse is, I think we can win this year. So if your poll says, I got a quarterback who's ready to play, but I believe that McCown or Bridgewater give us a better chance to win, you're going to favor on the side of, hey, Sam, you're going to have to sit because we got something to follow through here.
I'm going to play the quarterback that's ready to play to help us win.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and say, you're a rookie and you're a veteran. If that guy, if the rookie's playing better, he's going to play. If the veteran's playing better and the rookie's not ready, he's going to play. So when that situation comes, and that's my job as a coach to make it, I'll make it.
You got defense in your soul. That's what you played as a player.
When he won the Super Bowl with the Redskins.
Absolutely. Well, he's a big Redskin fan, Tom.
You know, the last one.
We'll see how long I last. But
are you concerned that your defense didn't get to the quarterback enough last year, and how will that change?
Well, there's always the age-old question that you don't get sacks. We want pressure and we want disruption. It doesn't necessarily have to be sacks. Sometimes they got in there a lot of times and the ball was out, and then sometimes the coverage wasn't as good, or sometimes they didn't get there. But it's a conglomerate. It takes all 11 guys. Mm-hmm. There's just no one way. We say we're rushing the pass and they're throwing quick under 2 seconds and 3 seconds every single time. So we want to get more pressure. We practice more pressure. There were games last year we got great pressure and the ball was out, and we just got to keep working at it. We think we have some things in place and the chemistry that is there, and we just got to keep working.
All right, so you have no Wilkerson, no Richardson. That's two veterans taken out of the equation here in training camp. How do you make up for that? We just talked to Leonard Williams. He said, I'm willing to lead, but you know, it's got to be organic.
It's got to be everybody. I mean, it's got to be a three-man rush that gets pressure, a four-man rush, a five and a six. It's got to come from everybody. Obviously, the talent of Leonard and Mo was well documented, but I think we have more depth than we've ever had at the position, so I'm happy about that.
I know you had a little crossover with Tony Sperano in Miami. Just your thoughts.
Well, me and Tony spent 7 straight years together. We went to Miami from Dallas. We were 3 years in Dallas and 7 years in Miami. I was his assistant head coach. And as a man, as a father, and, you know, me and the family were very close, obviously. Me and his wife have the same birthday as well.
Wow.
But me and his kid, I watched his kids grow up, and he taught me so much just about humility and life and being the same person every day at work. You know what you were getting out of Tony. He's one of the brightest coaches I've ever been around. But more important than me, I just feel so bad for the family and for somebody to pass away that early. You know, I'm only 2 years in age behind him. It makes you reevaluate things. And coaching's a tough profession from a stress standpoint. Nobody gets to see the personal side and before until they pass away. You know, as a coach, you're never really appreciated until you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's anywhere, whether you win or lose. But, you know, it still sticks to me to this day, and it'll stick to me for a long time.
Does it make, not to get too deep, Coach, but does it make you reevaluate? I mean, here's stories of coaches where, you know, marriages were ruined because of sleeping on couches. And I mean, this is a profession where it's almost 24/7.
And you had some health stuff too, Coach, where you a couple years ago where you were a little beat up from it.
Yeah, I was beat up from that standpoint. Luckily, everything is checked out and I'm fine now. But, you know, I think the days of sleeping on the couch for most coaches are over.
Good.
From that standpoint. But, I told my coaches this year it's mandatory they work out 3 times a week minimum.
No, really?
They have to get a workout in. So you have to take care of yourself.
Is this before the Tony Sperano thing?
This was before that, obviously. But, you know, you have to take care of yourself in the process because it'll creep up on you fast.
Do you feel pressure this year before we let you go to win games? Do you feel like you're coaching through your fifth year?
I put more pressure on myself than anybody could ever do. It's a pressure job, and that's why we're in it.
Great to see you. You look
very
wonderful.
Good to see you, and I like the shirt.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
I'll tell you this, Coach. If Tony Sperano taught you about being the same guy every day, if there was one way for us to describe you, Coach Bowles, same way every single time, I think he'd be proud of the consistency you have. You are Todd Bowles right now. You'll be Todd Bowles. We talked to you in October. Same way in December.
You don't see me on the inside of the building.
I can't speak for that. Can't speak for that.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Don't miss the guys weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN and on the Listen tab of the ESPN app.